True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today on Monday, September 6th. Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. Frank Stanfield here to recap that weekend, get you the latest waiver wire ads and drops. We saw a few pitchers make their returns and much more. Here to help me do all of that is not Scott White, as Scott is out enjoying the long weekend with his family, and he deserves it. But joining me in his place is a special guest, the co-owner of Friends with Fantasy Benefits, the overlord of the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. You listen to him on the Sleeper and the Bus podcast. It's Justin Mason. What's going on, Justin? How's everything going?
Scott's ducking me. What is this? Where is he? He's just not here. Nah, enjoy your days off there, Scott. I'm doing well, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. One of the best in the business. 100%. Happy to have you on. Happy that you have the time, your availability. Honestly, I was thinking of someone on the West Coast because I was like, you know, we're crazy that we stay up till midnight here and then we record the podcast. And you know what? I was like, Justin lives on the West Coast. Everything's going great right now for your San Francisco Giants, by the way, as well. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But yeah, very happy to have you here. Actually, let's just talk about the Giants now. How do you feel about the Giants? They just take two out of three from the Dodgers, first place in the National League West. I haven't been able to figure them out all season long, but it's just like a band of misfits. Great job by Gabe Kapler this year, the front office. They're just getting the most out of every single person on that team. Like, how do you feel as a fan of the Giants?
I mean, I kind of think about it in the same way I think about my own marriage, right? I somehow ended up with a woman I don't deserve. And so, like, I at some point just stopped asking questions like why or how. And I went, you know what? I'm just happy to be here. And I feel kind of the same way with the Giants. Like, on paper, they're not the best team in baseball. I don't even think they're like a 500 team. Like, I think they're probably a bottom, you know, half team in baseball, like on paper. But they have gotten it done really through a team effort. Like, there's no superstar on this team. I mean, Buster Posey's old. Brandon Crawford's old. Yaz is like a great glue guy, but like, you know, Gausman's good, but he's not great. Like, there's no superstar on this team. They're just doing it together. And things have just kind of come together all season long. I mean, they've just been on this extended hot streak, and I'm just going to enjoy the ride for as long as it lasts and hope that it takes us all the way to November.
Yeah, it's just been an awesome season. I think you hit it right there on the head. They don't have a superstar. They trade for Chris Bryant, but you know, even his numbers have kind of tapered down as the season has gone along. They're still very good numbers, but you're right. I mean, just a collective effort there from the San Francisco Giants. We'll see how deep they can make a run into the postseason. Let's get into some weekend recap, some oh my goodness gracious players from the weekend.
Oh my goodness gracious.
All right, the bad host that I am, I did not ask Justin beforehand what player he wanted to do, so I will give you the opportunity while I talk about my player, Justin, to figure out who you want to talk about. So, apologies, I should have done that beforehand. But people are probably tired of hearing us talk about Frank Schwindel. I feel like we talk about him every single podcast, but he's still only 39% rostered on CBS, and it's going to slow down at some point. I don't know when that point is going to be. It definitely helps when you face the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend, but 9 more hits for Frank Schwindel this weekend, including three more homers. He now has a home run in six of his last seven games and is batting .338 overall with 10 homers, a .1037 OPS. I mentioned 39% rostered. He has six home games this upcoming week. Justin, what is going on with Frank the Tank?
I don't really get it. I mean, he's been great in terms of his zone contact, almost 90% zone contact. Swings outside of the zone a fair amount. So, like, I think the batting average is going to crater at some point. But he's going to play. Like, who do the Cubs have? Like, they just have nobody else. So, I mean, he's going to play every day and get a lot of opportunities. Like I said, I don't think it's going to stay this good for super long. But, I mean, there's clearly some power in his bat. They're giving him an opportunity. And you got to kind of just roll with him and not leave him on your bench like I did in TGFBI.
TGFBI, by the way, 15 team roto in industry expert, a bunch of industry expert leagues that Justin sets up every single year. It's a lot of fun, but yeah, you don't want to leave Frank Schwindel on your bench. Definitely not in a 15 team league. He makes a lot of contact. He puts the ball in play. He puts the ball in the air a lot as well. So, I mean, those things are going to equal lots of extra base hits. I would expect the batting average is going to take a step back at some point, but this is someone who hit for a lot of power in the minor leagues, and I've followed him for a while now, and there's a few guys like this. Christian Walker comes to mind, where they're really like quad A players, I guess, or that's what they're labeled as, but you know, sometimes they get an opportunity and they just kind of roll with it. So Christian Walker is someone that kind of reminded me of that a couple of years ago with the Diamondbacks. Since, you know, I mean, he was good last year, he's fallen off this year, but yeah, Frank Schwindel, if you can, add him where he's available. And I have a segment coming up later on, Justin, where I'll pit some players up against each other. Would you rather? And I'm going to do that right now. Frank Schwindel or Jamer Candelario, who went 2-for-3 with 2 RBI, a walk, and a run scored on Sunday. He's having a monster second half. .311 batting average, 7 homers, 19 doubles, a .947 OPS in 47 games. Who would you rather have, Frank Schwindel or Jamer Candelario?
I think I lean Candelario just because the team context is just a little bit better in Detroit, which is not something I thought I would ever say about Detroit. But their team overall, I think, has just got a little bit better offense. And Candelario, I mean, he's always been one of those guys that, like, the underlying metrics, the Statcast data has always been really good on him. Just kind of been waiting for him to kind of take another step. And maybe he's starting to do it. Maybe this is a hot streak. It could both go cold for both these guys.
Yeah, 100%. I think I'll lean Schwindel there. I just think the upside's a little bit higher the way that he's playing. But yeah, I think sound reasoning for you. The Tigers team context being better than another team. But yeah, that is the Chicago Cubs. All right, so oh my goodness gracious, a player, a standout for you from this weekend, Justin.
Let's talk about Schwindel's teammate, Matt Duffy. Like, where did a grand slam and then another home run and then throw a stolen base in for good measure? He goes 3-for-5 today. I mean, he's just been nowhere this year because he's been injured, you know, but he got hot early in the season. We were talking about, hey, maybe this is a guy who could like play almost every day in Chicago. Well, now he's going to play every day. Super, super deep leagues, right? If you're playing 10 team, 12 team leagues, you just ignore Matt Duffy. But 15 team leagues or deeper, he's going to play every day, I think, in Chicago. And there's a little something in this bat. We've seen some magic with him with the Giants before. He's going to get an opportunity here in Chicago.
Yeah, I think in deeper leagues for sure. I picked him up in my NFBC main event league, 15-team, 5x5 roto. Picked him up for $1 out of a $1,000 fab budget. So I don't have much money left, so I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I dropped Ronald Torres for him, so just to kind of give you some kind of context there. But yeah, an absolutely massive game on Sunday for Matt Duffy. You mentioned 3-for-5, a grand slam, 2 homers overall, and a stolen base. He's only 1% rostered on CBS. I actually had a few deep league waiver wire hitters that I wanted to ask you about, and we'll kind of lump all these together, and you give me maybe your one or two favorites here, Justin. But Kevin Pillar is going to have more playing time now with Brandon Nimmo, who is on the IL with a hamstring strain. Pillar had 6 hits this weekend, 2 homers, 1 steal, 7% rostered, has 7 games this week. Lane Thomas has 3 home runs over his last 5 games, and he's been leading off consistently for the Washington Nationals. He's only 3% rostered. And then Anthony Alford, who is a former prospect with the Toronto Blue Jays, he's now with the Pirates. He had a double dong on Friday, 2 home runs in that game, and then he stole 2 bags on Saturday. And this season at AAA, .307 batting average, 14 homers, 9 steals, albeit with a 35% strikeout rate. So definitely some issues there with contact. He is only 2% rostered. How would you rank this group? Pillar, Lane Thomas, Anthony Alford, and Matt Duffy in deeper leagues.
Who I think I would go Lane Thomas, Duffy, Alford, and then Pilar. Maybe Pilar and then Alford. I really want to like Anthony Alford, but it just he's just never seemed to be able to get it together at the major league level. And not that Toronto gave him a ton of run or anything, but I mean he couldn't crack the Pittsburgh lineup all year. So like why do we think now at this point that he's going to figure it out, put it all together? Thomas is kind of a low ceiling guy, but if he's going to play every day in Washington, and I don't think there's much reason why they won't play him every day. I think he could like just accumulate rest of the way. Pilar is just he's short side platoon dude. Like I know he's gonna play because Nimmo's out and stuff like that, but he shouldn't. He just at this point in his career he's still a very good defender, but that's about all that he is.
Yeah, Lane Thomas. He's not great. We kind of know. Yeah. Maybe we don't know who he is at this point, but getting the opportunity again to lead off, so accumulating stats as you mentioned, it's like the Nationals lineup is not very good. At this point, they trade away Trey Turner. Juan Soto is still doing his thing, but they've been like pesky for other teams. Like Josh Bell's still hitting pretty well. So Lane Thomas is going to have some opportunity to at least score some runs at the top of that lineup. Before we hit the news and notes, just want to remind everybody that you can listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on your smart speakers. Simply say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, or hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, and boom. It plays easy peasy. Be sure to try it out. News and notes. Clayton Kershaw will make a three-inning rehab start at AAA on Tuesday. He reportedly felt good after a sim game on Friday. Jack Flaherty is expected to begin a throwing program in the next couple of days. He's on the IL with a right shoulder strain. And Shane Bieber apparently threw a simulated game Saturday. There was no update on him anywhere. I searched through Twitter. I went to Cleveland Indians.com or whatever their MLB site is. I searched all over Google. Nothing. There's no update on Shane Bieber. So once we have it, we will get it your way. Jacob DeGrom is still likely about 10 days from advancing to bullpen sessions. Justin, do you think that we will see Bieber, Flaherty, DeGrom, or Kershaw? Oh, man. Well, how do you think?
How do I think we'll see Kershaw. I don't think you'd lump Kershaw in with the rest of them. But honestly, if the Mets continue to stay in there, maybe we see DeGrom with one more start or maybe even two more starts rest of the way. But the rest of them, I don't think so. I think Flaherty's probably done as the Cardinals start to fall out of this. The Indians already out of this. So I think Bieber's probably done. I think we definitely see Kershaw for sure. I think DeGrom is very unlikely, and I wouldn't roster him if I couldn't just stash him on the IL.
Yeah, Cleveland, 9.5 games out of their division. I would assume that they don't really have a shot in the wild card either. They're 8.5 games out of the wild card, too. The Mets are hanging around. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They've been hot recently. They are 3.5 games out of their division, so they're still playing for a lot. We'll see what happens there. Yeah, I think, for sure, Kershaw we'll see at some point. Maybe DeGrom, one or two starts to close out the season. Max Scherzer completed a bullpen session on Saturday and is expected to start Monday against the Cardinals. He left his last start a little early due to hamstring tightness, so looks like he's good to go. Two starts this upcoming week. Michael Pineda is expected to return Monday and piggyback Bailey Ober. They're going to try and get 6-7 total innings out of that pair, which sucks, Justin, because I was all over Bailey Ober. I picked him up in a bunch of my leagues. He's been pitching really, really well since he rejoined the rotation. A big, hulking human being, 6'8". He's performing well, but I don't see how you can start him now if he's only going to go 3 or 4 innings, right? Like, you don't even have the opportunity for a win from Bailey Ober.
Yeah, it's super disappointing because I've got Ober in a few spots as well, and I'm probably going to end up having to start other guys just because it doesn't make sense to take the risk. Especially on a bad team like Minnesota, like it just take the risk that he could get blown up in 3 or 4 innings and not even have any potential for a win. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I wish they were doing the other way around. Why not start Pineda so that way they can follow with Ober? But yeah, is what it is.
Yep. That would have gave us more of an opportunity for a win there. So if you do play in any shallower leagues, head-to-head leagues, I've put in to drop Bailey Ober in all of my fab leagues tonight on Sunday when we're recording this. Tony Gonsolin felt good after Saturday's rehab start and could be activated soon. He is 43% rostered on CBS. Daniel Lynch exited Saturday's start in the third inning due to a cut on his finger. He was also getting destroyed, so maybe that contributed to that as well. Jake Meyers and Chaz McCormick will share center field throughout the month of September. Justin, does that mean that neither of them are rosterable, Jake Meyers and Chaz McCormick, if they're sharing time?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And neither of them are like good enough in terms of having a carrying tool in fantasy that you can go, well, even in part-time duty, like they could like make a difference for my team rest of the way. So I'd probably rather have a guy who's not very sexy, but playing full time.
Yeah, I like what I've seen from Jake Myers, but you're right. I just don't think he's going to do enough if he's playing half the time. Even if it's two-thirds of the time, that's probably just not enough for Jake Myers. Luis Severino is reportedly doing well and is expected to return to mound work by next weekend. Do you think we get anything from Severino rest of the way?
No, I don't. I mean, yeah, I can we really expect him to go like deep into games at this point in the season? You know, last thing that comes back is command and control off these Tommy John guys. So it means like you could end up getting a guy who goes three innings and gives up three or four runs. I love Severino maybe for next year. I think he'll be an underrated guy, especially if you don't get much from him this year. But this year alone, no, I'm not going after Severino.
Yeah, as a Yankees fan, I think that they probably just want to build him up so that they can maybe use him as a multi-inning reliever in the postseason if they make it. I mean, if they get past a wild card game. But yeah, I think that's probably what's in the plans for the rest of the season. Miguel Rojas was removed Sunday with left trap soreness. A bunch of players went to the IL this weekend. Lots of hamstrings, too, which is, I don't like, we're pretty late in the season. Come on, guys. Massage up. Let's figure this out. Lucas Giolito, strained left hamstring on the IL. AJ Pollock with a grade 2 hamstring strain. And Dave Roberts said that he will miss a few weeks, which sucks because AJ Pollock was crushing it recently. So not great there.
Connor was ugly.
Yeah. Connor Joe, another one who we were, you know, banging the table, telling people add Connor Joe. The guy's been awesome recently. Him and Frank Schwindel. It feels like we talk about them every podcast. Connor Joe went to the IL with a right hamstring strain, which means more playing time for Raimel Tapia and for Sam Hilliard. They have, it's either three or I think it's three games at home this week and then four on the road for the Rockies. Willy Adames went to the IL with a strained left quad. He re-aggravated that injury on Saturday. Jonathan Loaiza with a strained right rotator cuff. Austin Gomber went to the IL with a back injury. He has really been pitching poorly recently, so that might have been contributing to it. Nick Pivetta went to the COVID IL. He tested positive. The Red Sox are having a little bit of a breakout right now. Not a little bit. I mean, it's
a lot.
Yeah, it's winter. It's gone around their clubhouse, but they're getting some guys back. I know Hunter Renfro was back recently as well, so we'll see. Hopefully they can get past this. Justin Upton went to the IL with a right lumbar strain. Justin, would you start or sit these questionable players in weekly lineup leagues? Let's start with Carlos Rodon, who apparently will not start against Oakland the time that he was supposed to, the first time through the rotation, but there's a chance that he could be back next weekend against the Red Sox. Apparently he's battling fatigue and soreness, recently came off the IL. Would you risk it and start Carlos Rodon or just leave him on the bench?
I think I'm going to leave him on the bench. It's not a great matchup to begin with, and the chance that he could not pitch at all and you take a zero isn't worth the risk. So I'm going, I've got him in TGFBI, I've got him in a main event, and I'm going to go a different direction.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yordan Alvarez fouled the ball off of his knee. X-rays came back negative. Cross your fingers. He did not play on Sunday. Obviously, the guy had dual knee surgeries last offseason. He's having an absolutely monster 2021 here, but didn't play on Sunday. Justin, what do you think about Yordan Alvarez?
I mean, obviously, you want to wait to hopefully see him if he's in the lineup or not. But I would roll with him if I, you know, don't have an answer by the time lineup's locked. So he's just been so good. I mean, I think he's going to be a second-round player next year, especially getting outfield eligibility back for 2022.
Is he going to get to the 20 games this year? I know that he's played there quite a bit.
Yep, he will.
Oh, that is awesome.
He might actually even be there. I'll double-check. But,
yeah,
he's definitely going to be there because I talked about him recently on a podcast. And yeah, he's already got 29 games played in left field.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, let's do it. Second round Yordan for next year. That is awesome. Aaron Civale will return Tuesday against the Twins. Not clear yet if he does have two starts this week. It depends if they continue to go with a six-man rotation with Cleveland. Would you start Aaron Civale first time back?
I think so. Twins are a weak enough opponent that I think it makes sense. And Civale was really, really good before getting hurt. I like Civale a lot. I think he's a good little bounce back. You may not get enough depth to get a win. So, like, if you're searching for wins, if that's what you're really going for, then you may want to look another direction because who knows if they'll let him go five his first outing back.
Yeah, especially if you play in a quality start league too, which, I mean, this season, the way that they've handled pitching, you should not have been playing in any quality start leagues. I know that Civale got up to 71 pitches his last rehab outing, so keep that in mind. Ryan Mountcastle is nursing a sore foot. He was out of the lineup Sunday. He's having a monster second half as well, Justin. Would you leave Mountcastle in the lineup?
I would. I would. Definitely, again, want to check the lineup, see if he makes it in. But if he's out, I think I'd still try to roll with him. He's, like you said, he's been a monster in the second half after like putting up nothing in the first half. He's really just completely salvaged, season. So yeah, I think I would roll with him in hopes that he's going to play.
All right. Last one I got for you here. Kaybert Ruiz, who of course is one of the top pitching, catching prospects in the game, came over in the Max Scherzer trade. He was out of the lineup Sunday with knee soreness. What do you think about Kaybert Ruiz?
I think I would go a different direction just because he hasn't been playing well to begin with. So, and then you're talking about a guy who's banged up, a catcher, having to, crouch for an entire game. I don't know that he's going to play very much this week. I think they might try to give him some extra days off. So I think I would, or they could send him to the IL. So I think I would probably try to avoid it if I can.
Yeah, definitely in one catcher leagues, go in a different direction. Two catcher leagues, yeah, it's a little bit tougher. Let's see what happens. But yeah. One catcher, I think you avoid Kaybert Ruiz. I do have a quick prospect update I wanted to get your thoughts on here, Justin. Mackenzie Gore assigned to High A Fort Wayne on Friday, and he returned to game action with rookie-level Arizona Complex League affiliate August 19th and has made three appearances since then. During that time, he posted a 1.65 ERA, 104 whip in 16 and a third innings pitched. I think the road back is pretty long here for Mackenzie Gore. I mean, he's dealt with mechanical issues. He's like kind of dealt with the yips and stuff. I know that our good friend Chris Welsh, aka the Welsh from In This League, was at one of those starts, and I was listening to his Prospect One podcast, and he wasn't really impressed from what he saw from Mackenzie Gore. So, do you have a feel here, Justin, on Gore? Obviously not for redraft this year, but if you play in Dynasty, right? Like, is there any hope for Mackenzie Gore?
Yeah, I think there's hope still. I never like to give up on guys who were formerly top prospects. There were top prospects for a reason. Like, he was really, really good in the low levels of the minors. And, it sounds like a lot of this isn't necessarily a talent issue. It's a mental issue. And hopefully it seems like he's starting to make some right steps in the right direction. I think if I could, I'd try to buy low on him and see if, maybe someone does want to give up on – people want to sell – prospect pitchers all the time, right? The old tin stat. There's no such thing as a pitching prospect. So yeah, I think I would try to buy low on him because once he is worked his way up, he'll be in that rotation next year. And he could be special.
Yeah. And we know that, production for prospects and the way that they develop, it's not linear. I mean, it's not just, it could be different for all different kind of prospects. Some pitchers come up right away. They're awesome. Others, not so much. Lucas Giolito, obviously famous example, top prospect in the game. He had the worst qualified ERA the year before he broke out. So sometimes it just takes a little bit longer for these pitching prospects. I agree. If you could buy low on Mackenzie Gore in Dynasty, definitely something I would look into doing. Would you rather? We already talked about Frank Schwindel versus Jamer Candelario. Let's take a look at a few others here that I think are pretty similar players, and we'll start with Ian Happ or Joe Adell in a categories league. Ian Happ, 7 more hits this weekend, 45% rostered. He's having a pretty big second half, 260 batting average, 9 homers, 2 steals. He's got an 821 OPS. Joe Adell had 6 hits this weekend, including a double dong on Sunday. 2 homers in that game. He's 49% rostered. He has 6 games this upcoming week. Justin, would you rather Happ or Adell?
This one like hits me straight in the heart because I am a big fan of Adell. I'm a big fan of Ian Happ, and they've both disappointed me greatly recently. But they're both starting to hit. I think I go Happ. As much as I love Adell, and I do think like the ceiling is the limit for a guy like Joe Adell, he's still swinging outside the zone a ton. He doesn't make a ton of in-zone contact. He could be, have some really prolonged cold streaks. Yes, yeah, so when he's hot, he's going to be fun to watch and stuff. But there's still a lot wrong with the profile that he hasn't quite fixed yet at the major league level. So I'm going to go with my boy Ian Happ, who is another perennial disappointment.
And I think they're pretty similar players overall, too, right? Like a lot of swing and miss in the game, some power, some speed. Obviously, Joe Adell regarded as a higher prospect. I mean, yeah, probably much higher prospect. He was regarded as one of the top prospects in the game. Ian Happ did have some prospect status there for a while as well, so I don't want to sell him short, but I'm with you. I'll take Ian Happ. I think it's pretty close, but let's pay attention to Joe Adell and see if he kind of builds off this big weekend here. In shallower leagues, Michael Conforto or Will Myers? Michael Conforto, 6 hits this weekend, including a home run, and in August, 268 batting average, 876 OPS for Michael Conforto. He got the plate discipline back on track. He's 69% rostered. And then Will Myers over his last 15 games, 310 batting average, 4 homers, 1 steal. He's 74% rostered. The problem, the Padres only play 5 games this upcoming week, and Myers doesn't really play every day. He plays like 60 to 70% of the time. But who would you go with here, Conforto or Will Myers?
I think you got to go to Conforto, largely based on the fact that he's going to play more. He's just going to play more games, and the volume is a bigger thing. And I just couldn't understand why Michael Conforto was this bad all season. Like, it just felt like at some point things had to turn around for Conforto. It seems like it's starting to now. He's going to be a bargain hanging in the next year as well.
Yeah, it's super interesting, too, because he's in a contract year. So I want to see where Michael Conforto winds up, what kind of contract he receives, because obviously coming off this down year, had a monster 2020 season when it was, you know, obviously a shortened season. But yeah, it's been a really weird one, and I agree with you. It's nothing really looked that different in the profile for Conforto this year. I mean, not hitting the ball as hard, okay, but yeah, it's been weird. I'm with you. I'll take Michael Conforto over Will Myers. Next one up here, Jonathan Villar. The Mets, I mentioned they're hot. We're going to talk about a lot of Mets today. Jonathan Villar, 16 hits, 3 homers, 1 steal over his last 8 games. He's 41% rostered, has second, third shortstop eligibility on CBS. Very quietly, Villar is batting .268 overall, 18 homers, 11 steals. That's a really good season for Johnny Villar. And then Luis Arias, he had 5 hits this weekend as well. He added his 19th home run, 63% rostered. I don't want to sell him short. He's going to play more now that Willy Adames is back on the IL. Would you rather Villar or Arias?
That's really tough. I think with Adames out, I think I'll take Urias. I just, you know, he'll play, he should play every day. And I like the team context a little bit better, but I like the park a lot better. And so give me Urias. It's close, though. I like Villar, and Villar's been surprisingly great this year. I wish I hadn't dropped him in my main event early on in the season.
I don't blame you, man. I mean, there was a stretch there where he wasn't really playing, but now that he's been hot, they use him all over the field. Nice little utility man there for the New York Mets. I think it also kind of depends what you need, right? So I think if you need a little bit more pop, maybe a little bit better batting average, I think that could be Arias. If you need steals, maybe go in the direction of Jonathan Villar. I know the Mets play 7 games this upcoming week. The Brewers play 6. So that could be a deciding factor for you as well. Last one here that I have. Would you rather Andrés Giménez or Leody Taveras? Specifically, if you need speed in a categories league, Giménez had 4 hits, 3 steals this weekend. He's 12% rostered, 7 games this upcoming week. And then Leody Taveras, over his last 7 games, .296 batting average, 2 homers, 4 steals. He's 12% rostered. Justin, would you rather Giménez or Taveras?
Oh, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're taking positional eligibility because Giménez has the added eligibility, I think I'm going to go Taveras just because he's let off a few times. And in Texas, I think, wants him to lead off. He's been really good since getting recalled. So I think I'm going to lean Taveras, but like both guys.
Yeah, I do like both as well. I mean, there was, you remember, Justin, there was so much hype for Andrés Giménez coming into the season. And I thought for good reason, too. I mean, I kind of backed off as we got closer because, I mean, the helium just kind of got out of control in you know, high stakes leagues. He was going inside the top like 120 picks, maybe even top 100, which, you know, it got a little out of hand. But yeah, I mean, he's kind of flashing a little bit now, especially that speed, and Cleveland lets their guys run. So I think these are two names you could look at if you do specifically need some steals. But I'm with you. I do lean Leody Taveras just a little bit more. Let's take a quick break. When we return, what if I told you this before the season started? Let's get Justin's thoughts next here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Well, now it is on Homes.com.
As somebody who's been through this, I can tell you these features are so, so incredibly valuable. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools, and their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. The area you live in is just as important as the house itself. You can get to know a neighborhood without ever setting foot in it. Say you're a really active person. You could find out about the nearest parks. Do they have a baseball field? Maybe you want to join a softball league like Chris and I play in. Also, Homes.com collaboration tools makes it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com, we've done your homework. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, Justin, so if I told you before the season that Salvador Perez had 41 home runs on September 6th, what would you say?
I want to know what you're smoking. that's insane. What he's doing is ridiculous. I was saying this earlier tonight, like I haven't run the numbers on it yet, but he's got to be like a top 10 hitter in two catcher formats this year, because you're getting like almost 600 plate appearances. You may even get 600 plate appearances by the end of the season from a catcher. And that's ridiculous. Especially cause he doesn't have a batting average is going to tank you. He will be completely overpaid for next year. But those of you who are willing to drop that top 80, top, 90 pick on him, good on you. I wish I had.
Yeah, I wish I did as well. I liked grabbing one of the top 10 or 12 catchers, and it was really just whoever fell at a discount. So I wound up with a lot of Wilson Contreras, I thought, was pretty good draft day price. James McCann, I got a lot of, and that didn't really work out. Sean Murphy is another one I liked, and that hasn't worked out either. On CBS, if you play in a roto league, you can actually go to all players, and you could see where they rank for the season. Salvador Perez, 5x5 roto, is the 12th ranked player, not just hitter. Overall, Salvador Perez in two catcher leagues is the 12th overall player. Just an absolutely fantastic season for Salvi. Justin, what if I told you before the season that on September 6th, Robbie Ray would have a 2.60 ERA, a 0.99 whip, 212 strikeouts over 166 innings pitched, and is in top three contention for the American League Cy Young?
I would not have believed the whip. I would have thought you were, I can believe the strikeouts. I maybe even believe like the ERA and in the innings and stuff. But the whip, come on, this is Robbie Ray. But he figured it out, I guess. I don't understand it. He started to trust his stuff, right? He really taxed his own now instead of nibbling. And I think this is got to be a product of something in Toronto, right? The coaching staff said, hey, listen, you've got really good stuff. Stop trying to get people to swing outside of the zone and go after him inside of the zone. And it's really worked for him. It's insane because I think he's going to be like a top 15 starter next year. And I think that's probably right.
Yeah, I think that is right as well in terms of ranking him. I don't know if I am going to want to pay that price for Robbie Ray next year. It's just the old adage, right? Like, don't pay for a player coming off a career year. It's the same thing for Salvador Perez. So we'll see. But man, Robbie Ray, just 2.3 walks per nine this season, where, his days in Arizona, we were like up over four. I think we were up over five walks per nine a few times too. You're right. It's just the control has been awesome for him. Simplified his approach. Fastball, slider really makes up the most of his arsenal now. Attacking zone, as you mentioned. It definitely helps that the velocity has been up this season as well. So Robbie Ray, one of the biggest steals this season. Cedric Mullins, another one. He went 2-for-4 with his 25th home run on Sunday. He's batting .305, also has 26 steals. 25-25 season for Cedric Mullins. Justin, What would you say if I told you before the season? That's Cedric
Mullins.
I said,
I told you so. I told you so. I mean, I didn't think this was going to happen necessarily. Like, I think I wrote an article for FanGraphs and, you know, a bold predictions piece. And I think I said he was my bold prediction was he'd go 15-25. So, like, I didn't think he'd have this quite kind of power. And I definitely didn't think he'd have for this kind of average. But, I mean, he's just been absolutely amazing. And I am so glad that I got him on, I think, like, 19 or 20 teams of my 29. It's been glorious. It's been keeping me afloat in some places. And, you know, this will be a victory lap. I never stop running.
No, that's good on you, man. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think I wound up with him anywhere. I have probably like 12 or 13 teams and I have zero Cedric Mullins. So, definitely good job on you there. And I wonder if we see more hitters kind of ditch switch hitting after this, because Cedric Mullins did that. It was either before last year or before this season, but
right before this season. Yeah.
Right before this season.
I think too, like if you're like me and you're already starting your prep for next season, because you have, you know, an addiction and way too much free time on your end, apparently, you know, one of the things that clued me in on Mullins was I was watching lineups in September and he was leading off every game. Start looking at some of these teams and seeing what their lineups and seeing if you're seeing any kind of, you know, things that stick out to you, things like Leody Taveras leading off, you know, in September, or, you know, or other guys hitting in certain spots, you know, how are teams playing these guys down the stretch? Cause it's not like previous years in which you had, you know, 40 million players on the roster in September and we couldn't really make what of anything at the end of the year. So right now is a good time if you aren't as into baseball or aren't as into football and you're still 100% on baseball and really getting ready for next year, this is the time to really keep a close eye on things like that.
Yeah, could give you a leg up on your competition heading into next season. Really good point there from Justin. All right, last one here I wanted to hit. Kyle Seager hit two home runs on Saturday. Justin, what if I told you before the year that on September 6th, Kyle Seager would have 33 home runs and 93 RBI?
I mean, I'd ask you if you had a time machine because this is ridiculous. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, most power he's had in his entire career. And it's, you know, one of the reasons why the Mariners have competed for as long as they have in the wild card in their division. So, I mean, good for Seager. He's going to get a nice little contract at, you know, age, what, 32, 33 next year and on a different team. And he's got a team option, but there's no way they're paying out that team option. So maybe he ends back in Seattle if they kind of come to terms on a new deal. But if he leaves, it'll be a better hitting spot, right? I mean, it'd be better than Seattle. So, Good on Seager. I'm glad that he is outperforming his little brother.
Very nice there. Yeah, I mean, he's only batting .213, but of course the power has been awesome for Kyle Seager. A few hitting leftovers from the weekend I wanted to mention. Adalberto Mondesi has played three games since returning. In those games, he has four hits, one homer, four steals. Justin, are you ready to draft him in the top three rounds again next year after a monster September?
So this is one where you really want to watch the usage, right? Because they said, well, he's only, you know, maybe he can't be a full-time player, and that's why he keeps getting hurt and stuff like that. And so I really want to see how many games is he playing down the stretch. Are they really going to only play him 3 out of every 4 days or 3 out of every 5 days? Because that'll really impact the price. But, man, you see the tools. You see it, right? We're getting sucked back in. I'm ready to be hurt again. I really am. I don't know that I'll take him the first three rounds. But, you know, if he's sitting there a fourth, fifth, sixth round, something like that, it'd be really hard to leave potential 50 stolen bases on the board.
I know. I mean, and there's people that are going to laugh about it. Ha, why do you keep drafting Adalberto Mondesi? But, I mean, you see this. You see what he did last September and literally just wins people fantasy championships when he can stay on the field. So, especially if you play in a categories league, the guy is just such a difference maker. Those three games that he has played in thus far, they have come over the course of a five-game stretch for the Royals. So you're right. He has sat out. He's played one game, sat out, played one game, sat out, and then played another game on Sunday. So let's see what that playing time looks like rest of season. Nolan Arenado, a double dong on Friday. He's now up to 29 homers and 88 RBI. Francisco Lindor, back-to-back days with a home run on Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully getting ready to finish strong, because Lindor, Yelich, trying to figure out what to do with those guys for next year. Cody Bellinger, it's, I don't know, scratch my head, we'll figure something out throughout the offseason for those guys. Javier Baez, 4 for 4 on Sunday with a sock and a shoe. Justin, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase that we have, a sock and a shoe. That's a home run and a steal in the same game. It was made by our very own Scott White. I think it's pretty good. I like it.
It's a good one, yeah.
I tried to do sweet and salty for a little bit. People didn't like that, so I gave up on it. I don't know. I love sweet and salty snacks, like chocolate-covered pretzels. Those are one of my favorites. Javier Baez, by the way, do you want to talk about getting paid? I mean, the guy's in a contract year. He's up to 28 home runs and 14 steals, so good on him as well. Mark Canha is bouncing back. Over his last 7 games, he's batting .308 with 4 home runs. So I think the further he gets away from that injury that he had that landed him on the IL, the better Mark Canha is going to be. Lourdes Gurriel, 5 hits, 2 homers, 10 RBI this weekend. He's having a really big second half. Under the radar, Lourdes Gurriel, .310 batting average, .888 OPS. In the second half. Wander Franco, 2 more multi-hit games this weekend. He extends his on-base streak to 35 games. And this is a fun one too, Justin. Scott and I were talking about it. How early do you think Wander Franco goes next year? Because, I mean, he's undoubtedly going to be a top 50 pick. I just don't know how high it's going to get.
I mean, I think he's a second rounder next year.
That's
my guess. I don't know that I'll be taking him there.
Yep.
But there will be people taking him there.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Vlad treatment, right? When he first came up, and it's just kind of just selling out for that upside and what he could be. And we're already seeing it. The guy's 20 years old. He's got a 35-game on-base streak. It's ridiculous. Ozzie Albies returned on Friday, and he hit a home run in 3 days in a row at Coors Field. So that was great to see. Charlie Blackmon also homered 3 days in a row from Thursday through Saturday. Gary Sanchez, 2 homers on Sunday. He's now at 20 home runs overall. He is only batting .216, though, so a little bit of the Kyle Seager treatment there for Gary Sanchez. Let's move over to pitching here. Talk about some waiver wire pitchers, part one. These are players who are rostered between 50 and 60% on CBS. Rich Hill was at the Nationals this weekend. 6 shutout, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. He's allowed just 5 earned runs over his last 3 starts for Rich Hill. He's at the Miami Marlins this week, so obviously a good matchup there. Carlos Hernandez, another quality start, 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 strikeouts, and since being put in the rotation mid-July, 2.94 ERA for Carlos Hernandez with the Kansas City Royals. He's at the Orioles this week, so another good matchup. Tanner Houck, he was up against Cleveland, 5 shutout, 7 strikeouts to 0 walks. He had 15 swinging strikes in this start, 58% rostered. He's at the White Sox this week, so a tougher matchup for Tanner Houck. And then Ranger Suarez, who we talk about quite a bit as well. He was at the Marlins, 5 shutout with 7 strikeouts. He is at home versus the Rockies. That is the first game the Rockies will be away from Coors Field, and we know that usually their bats lag behind that first game out of Coors. Ranger Suarez is 59% rostered. Justin, how would you rank this group? Rich Hill, Carlos Hernandez, Tanner Houck, Ranger Suarez for the upcoming week.
I think I go Rich Hill, who really struggled with the sticky stuff after the kind of crackdown on it, but it seems to have gotten together and hasn't had a blister since the sticky stuff has been removed. Then I would go Ranger Suarez, getting Colorado on the road, and Suarez has been really, really good in the rotation. I mean, really good before he was in the rotation. And then I think between Houck and Hernandez, I think the difference maker is I think Hernandez better matchup against Baltimore, and I just don't trust Boston's usage of Houck. I mean, they've sometimes let him go, and sometimes they've just said, "Hey, nope, you're coming out right now." You know, he threw 5 shutout, but like they only let him go 5 in a shutout. Like he was pitching really, really well. So, what if things go a little bit sideways? They're going to pull him out after 3. Can't get a win. So.
Yeah, only 68 pitches, but I mean, he's got nasty stuff. There's no doubt in that. Great. I think Tanner Houck is going to be a pretty good pitcher overall, like for the future.
I'll be on the bandwagon next year. Next year, I will be on the Houck bandwagon. But for the rest of this season, you're just not going deep enough into games that you're going to get wins all the time.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Ranger Suarez, I would put him at the top of this list for me. 7 starts since joining the rotation. He's got a 1.71 ERA, 63% ground ball rate. So that's been absolutely massive for him. But then I would go Rich Hill, Carlos Hernandez, and Tanner Houck in that order. Waiver wire starting pitchers, part two. These are names that are rostered in under 50% of CBS leagues. Nestor Cortez was up against the Orioles, 5 2/3, 1 run, 7 strikeouts. I don't really know how Nestor Cortez is doing what he's doing, but he's pretty fun to watch. He's crafty, like does all these weird movements on the mound. He like stalls. He does like quick pitching. Kind of reminds me of like Johnny Cueto from the left-hand side. But he is 47% rostered. Tough matchup this week up against the Blue Jays. Jesus Luzardo, coming off that great start last time out, was up against the Phillies this weekend. 5 2/3, 3 runs, 3 strikeouts. Could not locate either fastball, the four-seam, or the sinker in this one. He's 40% rostered up against the Mets this week. Adrian Hauser, where did this come from? Up against the Cardinals, 3-hit shutout, 7 strikeouts to 0 walks. He's 26% rostered. He has another solid matchup. He's at Cleveland this week. And then Brady Singer up against the White Sox, 7 shutout with 6 strikeouts to 0 walks. Last 4 starts for Brady Singer. He's got a 1.49 ERA. He's at the Minnesota Twins this week, 26% rostered. Justin, how would you rank this group? Cortez, Luzardo, Hauser, and Singer.
Well, I can tell you I'm putting Luzardo last. Just no way. You couldn't pay me to start Jesus Luzardo. So no way am I going to do that voluntarily. I think I would probably lead off with Hauser, even though I don't trust Milwaukee and their usage of him. I know he was fantastic, right? Complete game, first one of his career. That's all well and good. He's also recently had starts where he went like 3 1/3. And, like, you know, they're going to use him however they feel that helps benefit the team. And, you know, of any team in baseball, Milwaukee does not care at all about your fantasy team. And so, like, he could easily go 4 1/3 and not get a win. So I do like Hauser, though. I've always felt like watching his stuff, like, that he could get some more strikeouts. But he just pitches so effectively to contact that he doesn't need to and tries to get out of innings quickly. So I'll go Hauser, Cortez, who I really enjoy watching pitch. He does have a little Johnny Cueto in him, a little swagger, a little just kind of messing with playing mind games with the hitters. Then I'll go Singer, and like I said, Luzardo, just stay away from him. Just don't do it.
Cortez, by the way, I love the mustache too, right? Little mustache he's got going on. There's an awesome shirt from RotoWear right now that they put out for Nestor Cortez, kind of mocking the Super Mario Brothers. So that's awesome. Adrian Hauser, yeah, I'm with you. I would put him at the top of this list. Then Nestor Cortez. I mean, it's a toss up for me between Luzardo and Singer. Like, I don't think Brady Singer is very good. I mean, he's sinker, slider. I don't think he has much bat missing ability. I do think Lizardo's upside long term is still much better than Brady Singer's. So you flip a coin between those. So I probably would take Luzardo ahead of Singer, but that's just for me. Deeper waiver wire starting pitchers. So these are, let's see what we got here. These are rostered in under, I want to say 20%. Yep, that would make sense for all of these names. And man, this is a real fun group. So get ready here, Justin. Michael Wacha up against the Minnesota Twins this weekend. Six innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. I noticed a change in his pitch mix. He completely ditched a cutter his last 2 starts, and he's opting for more fastballs, curveballs, and changeups, which makes sense because the cutter was getting crushed this year for Wacha. He's at the Tigers this week, so pretty good matchup there. Antonio Senzatella, I mean, we know he goes through stretches like this. It happened last year. His last 5 starts, a 2.94 ERA for Antonio Senzatella. He's at home against your San Francisco Giants this upcoming week. Glenn Otto, his first 2 starts with the Rangers, 9 2/3, 2 runs, 11 strikeouts to just 1 walk. He is 11% rostered. Solid matchup at the Diamondbacks this week. Eli Morgan, don't really know where this came from. 5 2/3 shutout. He had 7 strikeouts, 19 swinging strikes against the Boston Red Sox. That was pretty interesting to see here. Overall, I don't trust him. Maybe you do, Justin, but we'll find out in just a second. Jose Suarez, another one. Like, Adrian Hauser, complete game for Jose Suarez. Like, this guy had not thrown more than 5 2/3 in a start all season long. He goes out there, throws a complete game against the Texas Rangers. He is at the Padres this week. And then Taylor Hearn, who pitches for the Rangers. He, over his last 8 starts, over his last 8 games, rather, 6 starts, 2 relief appearances. He's got a 3.07 ERA. Doesn't get many swinging strikes, lots of fly balls. He does limit hard contact. That is Taylor Hearn. Justin, maybe give me just your 2 or 3 favorites. If you play in a deeper league, Wacha, Senzatella, Glenn Otto, Eli Morgan, Jose Suarez, and Taylor Hearn.
I think Otto is the guy that I would most want to use. Just, I like the matchup. He's been pretty good in his first few starts. I don't know how deep he'll go in the games, but the 1 walk is a really, really nice sign. And, you know, pitching in Arizona is a pretty good place to pitch, right? Going up against a National League team in a good ballpark with the humidor. So I think Otto's easily the number one guy in this. I mean, I like Jose Suarez, but he's going against Houston this week, not San Diego. Okay. So, and I don't want to have anything to do with Houston at all. Just stay away. And there's nothing worse than rostering a guy who just had a big outing and then he gets destroyed. And I think that has real potential. I like Eli Morgan a little bit, but the walks have been an issue. You know, he sometimes loses command within the zone. Milwaukee, no, not wrong with that one. So if I got to pick another one, I guess I go Michael Wacha, who I agree. I like this pitch mix change, and I've fallen for the Michael Wacha trick before. And I'm a lot like Charlie Brown, just going to kick that football one time, I'll connect.
Oh, man, famous last words, right? Michael Wacha. Trust Michael Wacha. Deeper leagues. Again, these are in deeper leagues. So he's only 12% rostered. Solid matchup this week. Yeah, I would put Glenn Otto up at the top, and I would put Michael Wacha behind him. I think Antonio Senzatella, like, in the right spots, you can use him at home in Coors Field against San Francisco. Pesky lineup. They hit home runs. I don't think that's the spot that I want to try and take a shot here on Senzatella. By the way, if Scott's not here, but I'll play the little jingle because I do enjoy this with the little Glenn Otto that we do. 1-800-GLENN-OTTO. Come on.
Pick up the phone. The call is free.
Very nice there. 1-800-GLENN-OTTO. Get him on your team in deeper leagues. We had a few pitchers return this weekend. Justin, wanted to get your thoughts on some of these. Freddie Peralta came back against the Cardinals. He gave up 4 runs over 2 innings. He only threw 53 pitches. He's up against the Phillies this week. Jose Urquidy made his return. He was at the Padres. Only goes 4 1/3, gives up 2 runs. The velocity I saw up on all the pitches here for Jose Urquidy. Nice matchup this upcoming week against the Seattle Mariners. And then Trevor Rogers came back on Friday against the Phillies. 4 1/3, 2 runs, only 3 strikeouts. And he is at the Braves. So what did you think about Peralta, Urquidy, Rogers in their returns and their matchups this week? I only really like the one for Urquidy.
Yeah, I think I would go with Rogers. Atlanta hasn't been great against lefties this year, so Rogers I would probably queue up. Urquidy, I think I would queue up as well. Peralta, again, Milwaukee, they don't care about your fantasy team. They're just going to, you know, and they also got such a big lead in the division that they're not going to mess with things, right? They're going to keep these workloads really managed down the stretch, especially for a guy like Peralta, who's, you know, shifting from being a bullpen guy to back into the rotation, dealing with an injury. So Peralta is one of those guys that I think he'd be dropped in shallow formats, even with that huge upside. It's just, I think the chances that he's going to have a lot of innings rest the way is pretty unlikely. So I think, yeah, I like him for next year, though. You know, I'll take my L on him. If I take my victory laps on a guy like Cedric Mullins, I'll take my L's too. I was completely wrong on Freddie Peralta. He has just been absolutely amazing this year, but I think rest of the way, you could probably move on.
Yeah, no, I love that too. I mean, it's accountability here, right? Like, we're going to get some things right. We're going to get a lot of things wrong too. So we like to do the same thing. It's, you know, I think when Vlad was going off earlier in the season, we had Vlad on all of our bus lists, and it was just because of the price, right? Like, he hasn't done anything yet, and we're still drafting him inside the top, whatever, 70 picks, and loser right here. I mean, that did not work out. So I think specifically for Freddie Peralta, good point there on really all players that we see playing time kind of taking a step back rest of season, kind of just like strip the name off the back of the jersey. Cody Bellinger was someone last week where we said, you can drop him. He's a platoon bat now. He's batting well under 200. He's been awful this year. It's clear he's playing through injury. Hopefully he gets back on track, you know, off season, another year removed from that shoulder surgery. He could be better for next year, but like bigger names that are not producing, this is not the time to be holding on to names like that. So I think that's a really good point there from you, Justin. Starter sit, I got a bunch of names for you. Let's run through these. John Means, he was at the Yankees this weekend. 5 innings, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. Would you start or sit? I believe he's only going to face the Royals. CBS, they have him scheduled for 2 starts, but he is pitching on Wednesday. It's an 8-game week. Are they going to let him go on 3 days rest from like one Wednesday to Sunday? I don't think so. So if it's just KC, would you start or sit, Justin?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be KC, and then he'll have a 2 start next week. So I'm going to start him against Kansas City. Kansas City is not very good.
Yes, they're quite bad. They made Zach Plesac look like a good pitcher earlier in the week. Exactly. So, John Means, Means has got back on track a little bit here. The swinging strikes are still not where we want them to be, but against the Royals, I can get behind that. Sean Manaea, he was at the Blue Jays this weekend, really needed a bounce back start, and he got it. 7 innings, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts. Entering this one, his 5 starts in August, he had a 9.90 ERA. Would you start or sit at home against the White Sox this week?
I think I would sit unless I was really desperate. The A's should let him go because they're chasing down a wild card spot or maybe even the division if they can get hot. That White Sox team is pretty good, and Manaea has been kind of all over the place. I think Manaea's tired, man. He just has not gone deep into seasons like this in a while. So I think Manaea is just starting to kind of wear down over the course of this, extended season after only having 60 games last year. So, if you're really desperate, I guess, but I would try to avoid it.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup, too. The White Sox, 6th best in WOBA versus left-handed pitching this year. They are first over the last 14 days, so they've been hot. Alek Manoah this weekend against Oakland. 5 innings, gave up 6 runs, only had 2 strikeouts to 3 walks. He is at the Yankees this week. 40% fly ball rate for Alek Manoah. It's pretty scary in Yankee Stadium, though his first major league start was there, and he actually performed well. So what do you think, Justin? Would you start or sit Manoah at the Yankees?
Oh, this is a tough one. I think I would start him just because he's been so good this season. I know the last game was bad, but for the most part, he's just been so dynamic. And, I'm not as worried about a guy like Manoah going to Yankee Stadium because he already pitches in a really bad ballpark. He's pitched in really bad ballparks all throughout this season, with Toronto having to pitch in every single stadium that they have a contract with. So I'm not as worried about the stadium. As long as he's good to go, I think you should be able to put him back in your lineup.
Yeah, and the Yankees, after the 13 game winning streak, the bats have kind of cooled down here the weekend. I mean, they couldn't hit Baltimore pitching. Oh my God, it was just so dreadful to watch. All right, we don't want to talk about the Yankees, but yeah, I'm with you. I actually would still start Alek Manoah. Kyle Gibson. And I know for a long time, Justin, you were the Kyle Gibson guy. Like year after year, I would listen to you guys, and I know that you were pumping up Kyle Gibson. Over his last 8 starts, he's got a 5.23 ERA. I think the wheels are starting to fall off a little bit here for Kyle Gibson. Would you start or sit at the Brewers this week?
I think I would sit him. I mean, this is the exact same thing that happened to Kyle Gibson last time he was good, right? Is he had this really good start to the season and then fell off kind of at the end. And we blamed it on I think it was ulcerative colitis. And we're like, oh, that's what's going on here. He got sick. But I think maybe he just tires out. And, he's a volume guy. He needs to volume his way because he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, like, to be successful for fantasy owners. If the volume isn't very good right now, then it's probably time to move on.
Kyle Hendricks, over his last 8 starts, he's got a 7.48 ERA, a 1.62 whip, 3.1 walks per 9. Kyle Hendricks is not right at the moment. Would you start or sit at home against the Giants?
Oh, against the Giants? Come on. You gotta sit him. He's been, I want to say he's been like the worst qualified pitcher this season. I could be wrong, but it's pretty close. Which is crazy because, I had him as a top 20 pitcher coming into the season. I just thought that if anybody can volume his way and give you good ratios, and it's got to be Kyle Hendricks. And the wheels have completely fallen off this season, and so have a lot of my teams.
How about Ian Anderson in 2 starts coming off the IL? One of those was in Coors Field, so you give him a bit of a pass. But 8 2/3, 4 earned runs, 6 walks, to 0 strikeouts. I don't know what's going on with Ian Anderson right now. However, he's at home against the Miami Marlins this week.
That's a good matchup. I just worry that he's not healthy yet, and that might be the issue here. And the Braves are kind of in a desperate spot where they're trying to hold on to this division, and I think pushing him maybe farther than he should go. I think you can roll him out, but just because it's the Marlins doesn't mean they can't. They just put up runs on Gibson, right? So like they could put runs up on Anderson as well.
Last two here, Josiah Gray, his last 2 starts, he's given up 12 earned runs over 6 innings pitched. The swinging strikes way down during that span as well. He is still 75% rostered. I would ask if you want to drop him, Justin, but he's at the Pirates this week, so I think I would hold on for one more.
Yeah, I think this is the deciding factor, right? If you can't use him against the Pirates, then you can't use him. He can't be on your team. So I think you give him one more go. He's a really, really talented pitcher. He's had moments of brilliance and then moments where he loses kind of the command within the zone, which leads to home run. So if he can put a good showing against the Pirates this week, then I'm going to continue to roll with him. If he puts up another dud, he's got to hit the waiver wire.
Last one, Corey Kluber. Returned this week, he made 2 starts, 7 2/3, 7 earned runs. Did have 11 strikeouts, so the swing and miss looks pretty good. He is at the Mets this week.
Yeah, I don't think Kluber's right. He just doesn't look like the same guy he did early in the season when he was pitching for the Yankees. I mean, he was really, really bad in some of those rehab starts. And I don't really care about, like, the earned runs and stuff. It was the walks and, like, the wild pitches and the hit batters. And it just didn't look great in this first start back. So I'm not starting Corey Kluber, but I don't think he should be rostered in most leagues.
Let's wrap up with some bullpen updates from the weekend. I'll run through a couple of different teams here. But for the Cubs, Rowan Wick picked up 2 saves this weekend and has the last 3 traditional saves for the Chicago Cubs. He is 5% rostered. Someone I think you could add in deeper leagues if you need saves, Justin.
Yeah. If you need saves, I mean, it's hard to get them right now. And Rowan Wick looks like the guy now that he's healthy.
Yeah. For Oakland, Sergio Romo came in on Friday with a 2-run lead. He then gave up a 3-run walk-off homer to Marcus Semien. What an awesome game, by the way. I mean, Toronto was rocking in that game. Lourdes Gurriel hits the game, I believe it was game-tying grand slam the inning before, and then they go down 2 runs, and then Marcus Semien with the revenge game, 3-run homer there in the 9th inning. Lou Trevino also only recorded 4 outs this weekend. He gave up 7 more earned runs. Justin, who do you think gets the next save opportunity for the Oakland A's?
Andrew Chafin.
Yep. It's hard to argue with that too. I mean, he's been so awesome this year. So
yeah, and I mean, I think this is a really, really fluid situation that's going to change hands a few more times the rest of the way. Just be happy with what you got from Trevino, because you got a lot from him for nothing off the waiver wire.
Yep, for Boston this weekend on Friday, Adam Ottavino entered in the 7th inning in a tie game, which was pretty random. There was a runner on first. The top of the lineup was coming up, and then he struck out the 2 batters he faced. Garrett Whitlock recorded the final 4 outs for his 2nd save of the season. And then on Saturday, Ottavino gave up 3 earned runs. He took his 3rd blown save, but did wind up with the win. He's 36% rostered. I still do think Ottavino is the guy there for Boston. Matt Barnes is currently on the COVID IL as well. For Tampa Bay, on Friday, Andrew Kittredge got his 6th save, and he has Tampa Bay's last 4 traditional saves. I believe it was Sunday he took the loss. I don't think it was a save opportunity. It might have been like a tie game, but he did pitch. I mean, it's Tampa Bay, Justin. I don't know. Do you have a feel? Do you actually trust Andrew Kittredge? No.
I don't trust anybody in Tampa Bay. He's like, don't do it.
No, don't do it. For Colorado, on Friday, Carlos Estevez picked up his 4th save. On Saturday, he gave up a solo homer and picked up his 5th save. I think he's entrenched as the Rockies closer right now. It's Coors Field, which is not great, but Estevez is pitching well right now. For Seattle, Paul Sewald pitching the 7th inning on Friday. Then Drew Steckenrider pitching the 8th. Johan, a gentleman named Johan, picked up his 2nd save of the season in the 10th inning. And then on Saturday, Diego Castillo pitched in the 9th. He picked up his 16th save, so he returned. There's a bunch of names. Justin, do you have any feel for the Mariners bullpen right now?
I think Castillo's going to be the guy, but I think it also could switch hands a bunch. They're just going to kind of ride the hot hand. I just think, especially for next year, if you're kind of looking at these, because these are the situations you're going to kind of look at for next year. I think this is going to be another muddled situation coming into 2022.
Yep. I mentioned the Reds on Saturday. Michael Lorenzen pitched in the 7th and 8th inning. Michael Givens picked up his 5th save, but they've been hard to trust. For the Marlins, Dylan Floro picked up his 8th save of the season on Saturday. On Sunday for Baltimore, Tyler Wells got his 1st save of the year. Cole Sulcer pitched on Friday and Saturday. They like to mix and match quite a bit. Baltimore doesn't win many games as it is. For the Tigers, Gregory Soto recorded the final 5 outs on Sunday for his 18th save. For the Twins, Alex Colome gave up 2 hits, a walk, and he picked up his 11th save of the season. He's 44% rostered. He's not very good. I don't think Colome is good. But if you play in a shallower categories league, he's their closer. So he's going to get save opportunities. And then for the Cardinals on Sunday, an epic meltdown. Giovanni Gallegos enters with a 4-run lead. He gives up 3 hits, a walk, gives up 1 run. Alex Reyes comes in, gives up a walk-off grand slam to pinch hitter Daniel Vogelbach. I'm thinking they still go back to Gallegos next time out. What do you think, Justin?
I think they do, too. But I think, again, this is a situation that's probably going to be pretty fluid. I mean, they even said when they kind of demoted Alex Reyes out of the role that they were going to play matchups in the ninth. So I think it's going to be kind of fluid, but I think Gallegos gets the next save opportunity.
All right, to stream or not to stream, I'm going to throw a few names your way, Justin, who are rostered in under 70% of CBS leagues. And these are, if you play in daily lineup leagues, someone that you could pick up and stream for that day. Just give me like your 2 or 3 favorites. A lot of the time, Scott doesn't like any of them, so he will literally just tell people, like, don't stream. You could do the same. For Monday, Ryan Yarbrough at the Red Sox. Kyle Freeland is at home against the Giants. Justin Steele at home against the Reds. Bryce Wilson is hosting the Tigers. AJ Alexi at the Angels. And Logan Allen is hosting the Twins. Do you like any of these, Justin?
I mean, not particularly. I guess if I'm going to give you 2, I'll go Logan Allen, Minnesota, coming off of 2 decent starts, both quality starts. So he went 6. And then AJ Alexi, I guess. But the other ones, I mean, Yarbrough against a Boston team that crushes lefties, no thanks. Kyle Freeland at home versus my Giants, absolutely not. I don't even know who Justin Steele is. I just refuse to admit that he's an actual pitcher in baseball.
All right, let's go on to Tuesday to stream or not to stream. We have Jake Odorizzi at home against the Mariners. Logan Gilbert on the other side. He's at the Houston Astros. Willy Peralta at the Pirates. Edward Cabrera versus the Mets. Jackson Kowar at the Orioles. And Eric Lauer versus the Phillies.
All right, I'm going to go Eric Lauer versus the Phillies. Lauer is one of these guys that people just will not give any credit to, but he continues to just put up good outing after good outing after good outing. And Phillies, yeah, they're a good team, but they're not a great team. So I'll run it out there with Lauer. The rest of the bunch, a little scary. I think Odorizzi, I guess, for Seattle is somewhat interesting for me, but no way am I starting Logan Gilbert, who's been struggling against Houston. And Edward Cabrera, I like him long term, but he's been kind of up and down so far.
I really liked what I saw from Jackson Kowar, his first start back in the rotation last time out. So at the Orioles, I mean, it's not the best place to pitch in Camden Yards, but against that Orioles lineup, I think I could get behind that. But Eric Lauer and Jake Odorizzi, a few other names there that you can look at. Co-owner of Friends with Fantasy Benefits. He is the overlord of the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. Listen to him on Sleeper in the Bus podcast. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Justin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Frank. It's always a pleasure.
I also want to thank your wife for allowing you to come hang out too, because I saw her on Twitter. She's like, I better get some thanks on the podcast. So I do appreciate it.
Yeah. She was very, happy to loan me out so she wouldn't have to hang out with me for the evening.
All right, man, let's wrap up there. For Justin, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We will be back again on Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.